Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Brachos Daf Yud Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Following the conclusion of our regular Daf Yomi Gemara Shiur, we will offer a supplemental Shiur covering the Tosfos of our Daf for those who are interested. Today's Shiur begins 16 lines from the top. The first word on the line is Domi. We now turn to the Mishnah in effect and attempt to make inferences from that which was taught over there. Our Mishnah mentioned mi shemesoi muto lefonov, meso in, which meso is in the possessive, so it sounds like his deceased, meaning a relative of his. Under those circumstances, the Mishnah says there is exemption from Kriya Shema and Tefillin, etc. Avol mishamroi loi, but you could infer that if someone were, let us say, watching the corpse, the deceased of someone else, someone who is not one's relative, so he wouldn't have these exemptions mentioned in the Mishnah. And this raises a question, V'ha Tanya. Now this diamond marking in effect is a continuation of the diamond markings we saw already on Yud Zayin Omid Beis, where we indicated there would be a series of questions, and the second and third questions we might as well point out are inference-related questions. In other words, the Mishnah teaches one thing, and we infer from that which the Mishnah teaches something else, an attempt to infer the contrary. So here, we're trying to infer that Mishamro Lo, that someone who was in charge of watching the corpse, this is an idea that between demise and interment, there is the need to watch, to guard the corpse from anything that could be injurious to it. So we, though, see a source indicating contrary to what we attempted to infer. V'ha Tanya, hamishamer es hames, afal pi she'enoi meso, one who is watching a corpse, even though it is not his own relative, poter mi kriyashma, u'minatfilin, u'mikol mitzvus v'amuros b'torah. We see an exemption, even if it's not one's own relative, and hence negating the inference that we attempted to make. The Gemara answers, in fact, both points are correct. Mishamroi afal pi she'eno meso, meso afal pi she'eno mishamro. There is exemption for one who is watching a corpse, even if it's not his own relative. And we should point out, based on what Rashi says, that the exemption is based on oisek b'mitzvah poter min ha-mitzvah. He's engaged in a mitzvah activity, namely the watching, the guarding of the corpse, and therefore that exempts him from other mitzvahs. And likewise, meso, if it's one's own relative, even if he's not engaged in watching it, he nevertheless is exempt from other mitzvos, as we have learned previously. Meso u'mishamru in, another attempt right now, and that is, we are going to say that meso and mishamro, they are exempt, one's own relative, even if he's not watching the corpse, or one's one who is watching a corpse, even if it's not his relative. These people are exempt from the mitzvahs we mentioned. Avol mehalech beveis hakvoros loy, but one who is strolling through a cemetery would not be exempt. In other words, according to what we're saying now, that if one is strolling through a cemetery and it is time to daven, he should put his tefillin on and daven right there in the cemetery. Ah, but we see to the contrary. V'ha Tanya, lo yahalech adam beveis hakvoros utfilin beroshoi v'sefer Torah bezroyoi v'korei. One should not walk through a cemetery, tefillin being adorned and sefer Torah in his arm and reading from it. In other words, studying Torah. V'im oise kein, if one does behave thusly, oiver mishum lo eig lo rosh cheref oisehu, one is guilty of mocking the impoverished. And as we've seen before, there's no greater impoverishment than the dead. So making a ridicule of him. So we see from here that what we tried to infer before really isn't so, because we see even Mahalach Beis HaKvaros is exempt and is not to be engaged in fulfilling mitzvahs. The Gemara says both are true in the sense that there is an exemption for one walking through a Beis HaKvaros. However, the inference is also correct that there is a difference between the case of Meso Mishamro versus walking through a Beis HaKvaros. And it's as follows. Hasam, in the case of Beis HaKvaros, Toich Arba Amos Hu De Oser Chutz Arba Amos Chayav. Skipping the brackets for a moment. Hocha Chutz La Arba Amos Nami Potter. In the case of the Beis HaKvaros, a distinction is made between within 4 Amos of where the dead is, we'll say within 4 amos of the grave, versus beyond 4 amos of a grave. So that if one has, let us say, a wide path cutting through a cemetery, and while standing in the middle of that path, he is more than 4 amos from grave, so he could be engaged, he could wear his tefillin, and he could learn Torah. As opposed to someone who has a recently deceased relative, or someone's guarding a corpse, even beyond the 4 amos a range, he is exempt. Gufa. Gufa is an expression indicating something that was quoted earlier by the way, and now we want to focus on it. Hamishamer es hames. And of course, we should point out that you can see this is a Tanaic source, as we have framed it, indicating thusly. Hamishamer es hames. Afa pisheino meso. One is watching a corpse, even though it's not his own relative. Potter mi kriyashma. Uminat filo. Uminat filin. He's exempt from the recitation of Kriyat Shema, from Shmoina Esrei, from wearing tefillin, umikol, mitzvah samaros b'torah, and we indicated before this is an exemption of oisek b'mitzvah poter min ha-mitzvah. One engaged in a particular mitzvah, he's exempt from performing other mitzvahs. Hoyu shnaim, let's say two people were hired or were in the service of guarding the mace, the corpse. Zeh mishamer v'zeh korei. Zeh mishamer v'zeh korei. They would alternate. One watches, the other reads the kriyashma, and when he's finished, so the other one will. So he will then take over the watching, and the other one will read. Ben azai omer hoyu boim b'sfina. If they were with a body on a boat. Manichoi bezovis zu umispalin shnehem bezovis acheres. They both of them would leave the corpse in one corner and go to another corner of the boat and daven and say they're daven the shmone esrei. The Tanakama did not make a distinction between other places and boats. In other words, according to the Tanakama, there is a din across the boards of zeh mishamer v'zeh korei. In other words, you wouldn't have, according to the Tanakama, two people, the two of them, if it's a situation of two, leaving the body alone. According to Ben Azai, in a boat, you could have the two leaving the body alone. My binayu, what is the underlying point of difference? Omar Ravino, choshishin lachborim iko binayu. Is there a need to worry about the possibility of mice in a boat? I'd like to say devour, but that would be maybe an overstatement, but biting into the corpse and hence ruining it, being a bizoyon, a defamation of the body. Mor sovar chayshinon, the Tanakama says you do have to take that into consideration, and umor sovar ben Azai says, and on a boat you don't have to worry about the mice. Loi chayshinon. Tonu rabbonon, we have here a new discussion, and that concerns the transportation of a sack of bones, and we'll also talk about a sack containing a sefer Torah. Tonu rabba hamoylich atzomois mimokoim lamokoim hareza lo yitnam bediskia v'yitnam al gabi chamor v'yirkav alehem. One who is transporting bones from one location to another, he should not place them in a diskia. Diskia is a large leather receptacle, and one should not put the bones in such a vessel and then place it on a chamor, on a donkey, and then you, the rider, sit on it. And that would be considered a desecration of the dignity due to the deceased. If the rider was concerned that he may be besieged by Gentiles, mipnei listim, or marauders, mutar, then such behavior would be allowed. Ukederech shomru ba'atzomois kach omru b'sefer Torah. And the way we treat bones, the approach to bones, is the same as a sefer Torah. Again, this dealing with someone riding and transporting a sefer Torah while riding a donkey. Ahei, the Gemara wants to know this last phrase, beginning with the expression ukederech shomru. This last phrase, what is it referring to? Ilemo areisha, if it's referring to the opening section of this source, and we have written in, you'll notice between the lines, the in small words, small letters, resha and sefa, so it makes it easier to navigate in this question. Is the expression of the way uchderech shomru, the way we treat bones, is the same way we will treat a sefer Torah going on the resha that spoke in the negation, in other words, not to sit on? Well, if you say ilemo areisha, if you say it's going on the resha, pshita, that's obvious. Mi gora sefer Torah me'atzamos, would one think that the honor accorded to a sefer Torah's gora means is less than the honor due to bones? No, an expression of desecration is fulfilled or accomplished by sitting on bones, so certainly the same would be the case of a sefer Torah. That would go without saying. There'd be no need for this closing clause to indicate that. Ela asefa. Rather, it's going on the latter part of the source. Well, the latter part of the source says if one is afraid of Gentiles or of marauders, bandits, then it would be mutter. So we're saying it would be then mutter to sit on the sefer Torah, just like it would be mutter to sit on the bones. Now, I believe if you look in the Tosfos, he says that the inference is really not going on that, but the inference is coming from the statement of Uchaderech Shomru Ba'atzamos is really going on a point that could be inferred from the Reisha. The Reisha said that one cannot sit on the bones. However, one could sling the bones in back of him on the back of the donkey, and that would be all right. So it's going on that point that just like you can sling the bones in back of you, as long as you're not sitting on top of them and ride in thus a fashion in order to transport them, so too you can sling a sefer Torah behind you on the back of the donkey and ride thusly, as long as you're not sitting on top of them. And since it's the Meforshim on the Tosfos point out that since it's not something that's beferush in the Reisha, it's an inference drawn from the Reisha, so the term Seifa can apply to that as well. Whatever the case is that we can come away with two points of conclusion, and that is that besides the obvious that you can't ride on top of the Sefer Torah, you could have it slung behind you on the back of the animal, and if there is a fear of Gentiles or bandits, then you could ride on top of it, sitting on top of it. Omar Rachba, Omar Rav Yehuda, Kol Roya Hameis V'eino Malaveu Oiver Mishum Loyeg Larosh Cheref Oiseu. One who notices a funeral procession and doesn't accompany it, he is guilty of this transgression called Loeg Larosh, belittling or defaming the impoverished, as we said before, the deceased, and that is Cheref Oiseu, that is a shame that causes him. The Imhil Veu Maschor, if one does accompany the deceased on its way to interment, Amar Rav Asi, and the question here is, what is the reward for such an individual? Amar Rav Asi, Olav HaKosav Omer, regarding him, the Pasuk says, Malvei Hashem Choinein Dal, Umechavdoi Choinein Evyoin. Rashi explains on this pasuk, Malve Hashem Chonein Dal, Kri Bei Malave Es HaMokim Mi Shechonein Es HaDal, that one who bestows grace upon the impoverished is like one who accompanies the Mokom, the omnipresent one, namely the Almighty. Could be that we could read this Rashi as Malva Es HaMokom, meaning it's considered as if he's loaning the Almighty, one who bestows grace on the impoverished. And we'll explain when one you loan someone money, so they are indebted to you. So that the Ein L'chodal Min Hames, and no, there is no one more impoverished than than he was deceased. V'hamalva also, or v'hamalava oisoi, one who accompanies him, ki'ibu malava samokoim. It's as if he is accompanying the Almighty. And the end of that posuk says in Mishle, Yud Tes Posuk Yud Zayin, after reading Malve Hashem Choneidal, Gemuloi Ugemuloi Yishalim Lo. So the posuk itself indicates his reward will be paid to him. And the other posuk, Umechabdoi, one who honoring the Almighty is Chonein Evyon, one who is graceful to the Evyon, another expression referring to the impoverished, and in our case referring to the dead. So that accompanying the dead is like one who is accompanying the Almighty, Lahavdil, and it is considered an act of honor to the Almighty. The Gemara continues with an incident that in effect preoccupies a very long section of Gemara. Rabbi Chiya v'Rabbi Yonason havu shakli v'azli b'beis hakvaros. These two great rabbinic figures were walking through a cemetery. Have koshadya techelto de Rabbi Yonason. The word koshadya literally means sent out, something that's cast out. In this case, the word techelto is a reference to tzitzis. So we could explain that they were walking through the cemetery, and the tzitzis of Rabbi Yonason were exposed, possibly dragging along on the floor, but they were exposed and hanging down. Omar le Rabbi Chiya, Dalye, raise them, and very likely hide them, put them away, cover them. But literally, the word Dalye means raise them. But it would have to be, we'll see in the context of this Gemara, we don't want a situation, says Rabbi Chiya, where the tzitzis are exposed to the dead, so to speak. Why is this? Why was he insistent on Rabbi Yonason's place putting away his tzitzis? K'dei shelo yomru, so that the deceased shouldn't say lemochar boin etzlenu. Tomorrow they're going to die. Everyone dies at some point. The achshava, now that they're still alive, mecharfenosanu, they are belittling. There's another girsah, maligin oisanu. They are belittling us. In other words, by conducting oneself in such a way, demonstrating mitzvahs in the presence of the dead, it's as if to say, here we can do this and you can't. Omar Lay, so Rabbi Yonason says to Rabbi Chiya, Umi Yadi Kulehai, are the dead so aware? Are they so aware of what takes place amongst the living? V'hoksiv, V'hameisim Einim Yoidim Mu'uma, the dead don't know anything. Omar Lay, we should point out that this pasuk actually has two parts to it. And the beginning of the pasuk, and we've included this on the side of the Gemara, Koheles Perek Tes Pasuk Hey, the beginning of the pasuk reads, Ki hachayim yoidim shiomusu, v'amesim einom yoidim mu'uma. The living know they are going to die, and the dead don't know anything. On the grounds of this pasuk, so Rav Yonason says, you see from here that the mesim don't, they're not aware, so there's nothing wrong with my having the tzitzis out. Omar Lei, continuing in the Gemara, four lines from the bottom, im koris lo shonis, Rav Chiya says, if you learned the pasuk, you obviously haven't reviewed it. Through review, one gains deeper understanding in that which he learned. Im shonis, and if you did review, lo shilas, you didn't review an additional time. You see here a reference to this to the idea of multiple reviews in order to gain greater understanding. V'im shilasht lo pirshulach, and if you did thorough reviews and still you came to the conclusion that you did, namely taking this pasuk and referring it to the clinically dead individuals, then obviously there's some lacking in the original explanation that you received. In other words, you've been in effect reviewing a mistake, because what your approach to it is simply incorrect. Now you'll notice that the following section is bracketed, and the brackets continue quite a few lines down, Omid Beis. So if we skip momentarily, we will get immediately to Reb Chiya's response to Reb Yonason's citation of Amesim Einam Yodim Me'uma. So after the brackets, you see it says Amesim Einam Yodim Me'uma Elu Rishoyim Shebechayim Kriyam Mesim. We're talking about living people. We're talking about the wicked, that when they are alive, they are referred to as dead. So the pasuk is saying the wicked don't know anything. They don't understand. They don't know how to look at life. So they're considered like dead. But it's not talking about the absolute clinically dead individuals, because they, says Reb Chiya, are aware of what's going on. If we look in Rashi, though Rashi appears on Omid Aleph, it's our feeling that to appreciate this Rashi, you really would have had to learn the Gemara, the continuation of the Gemara. So Rashi says, Elu Tzadikim. Actually, this Rashi is going on that which is found in the bracketed section, because actually before we read the Rashi, maybe just one line of Gemara, the Gemara says, Ki hachayim yoydim shemu. So, and we point out this was the beginning of that pasuk which Reb Yonason had cited. So Reb Chiya is saying, let's take the whole pasuk from the top. Ki hachayim yoydim shemu. So elu tzadikim shebemisosan nikru chayim. The pasuk that says ki hachayim yodim, this is referring to the righteous ones, that even when they're dead, they're considered alive. What is that which tzaddikim are aware of? They're aware of the fact that every day of one's life is just that much closer to their eventual demise. Rashi. Now, we look at Rashi. Elu tzaddikim umay yoydim. What do they know? What do they know? Shiamusu. They know they're going to die. Noistim el libo nyoim hamisa. The righteous always have death on their minds. Of course, we're not talking about some type of clinical depression, but the awareness of death is always on their minds. That motivates them to withdraw from sin. One who's aware that eventually they're going to have to give a full report, as we call it, we refer to this as a din v'cheshbon. So, and they're aware of the approachment of death, so that motivates them to withdraw. They know they're going to have to pay for whatever pleasures they yield to in this world, assuming, of course, we're talking about pleasures that are a result of sin. Urishoyim einom yoydim uma. What is that referred to? Sha'oisim atzmam ke'enom yoydim v'choytim. The wicked make themselves. You'll notice, of course, Rashi uses the explanation of the pasuk. The pasuk itself says, "V'hameisim einom yodim uma." Rashi changes the expression because the word meisim is a reference to the rishoyim, to the wicked that are alive. They make themselves like they don't know. They pretend that they are immortal, and hence justify their sinning, and on the grounds that they never have to confront a heavenly court and give accounting. So now we turn back to the Gemara. Ki hachayim yodim shemusu. Rabbi Chiya had said to Rabbi Yonason, the first part of the pasuk is elu tzadikim shebemisosan nikru chayim, and then we have this internal brackets which instructs really the reader to again just skip for a moment. After explaining the beginning of the pasuk, you would skip this internal brackets as indicated. We have a bracket length indicator also to the right hand side of the Gemara text. You'll see a dashed type line which takes you to the end of the exterior bracket, so that you would read this, where the double underline is the first part of the pasuk and the next double underline is the second part of the pasuk. Now, within this internal brackets, what the Gemara does is it gives a basis, a proof, that tzaddikim, even in their death, are referred to by the term chay, chayim, meaning alive. So that this becomes an internal discussion after we saw the larger picture already. So, shenemar, this is proving that tzaddikim, when they're dead, are still called alive. The pasuk says, Uvnoyo ben Yehoyada ben ish chai rav polim mekabtzel hu hika eshnei ari amoyav hu yorad vikos ari besoch habor b'yom ha-shelek. This pasuk will be broken up by the Gemara itself. The pasuk is a very figurative type pasuk, as will become obvious soon. So on the first point, which is of immediate concern, is where do you see in this pasuk that the tzaddikim, even in their death, are called alive? So in this pasuk we saw reference to Benoyahu ben Yehoyada ben Ish Chai. So the Gemara says at the top of Amud Beis, ben Ish Chai otu kule amo b'nei meisininu. Does this pasuk have to feature Benoyahu ben Yehoyada as the son of a living man, as opposed to everyone else are the sons of the dead? That's not necessary. To a lot of people who are alive, their fathers are also alive. So, Ella, so what does this pasuk mean? Ben Ish Chai means Shafilu b'misaso, even though he was already dead, Korui Chai, he's called alive. That's the significance of Ben Ish Chai, that a person who was righteous, even though he is physically deceased, he's called alive. As we would say, his spirit lives on. Rav Paul and Mekabtzel, as we mentioned before, we're going to now break up this pasuk and explain the different phrases. We're describing Benoyahu ben Yehoyada as Rav Paul and Mekabtzel. Sheriba v'kibetz poyalim l'torah. He increased and gathered workers for Torah. In other words, he gathered people together to learn and pursue Torah study. What does that mean? He had no parallel. The word Ariel is a reference to the Beis HaMikdash, so he had no parallel in the first Beis HaMikdash nor in the second Beis HaMikdash. And how does one see Beis HaMikdash over here in this pasuk? So the word Moav is a name of a nation. Tosfos points out that David and Shlomo are the descendants of Rus, who came from Moav. And the Tosfos we're referring to is found at the bottom of Omid Aleph, where he says Shnei Ariya Moav Al Shem Dovru Shlomo Shebonu Es Habayis Ubo Merus HaMoav Moav. They are descendants from Ruth, who came from the nation of Moav. So we continue in the Gemara. For who Yorad V'Hiko Es Ha'ari B'Soch HaBor V'Yoyim HaSheleg. Two pshatim on what this is referring to. One says Iko D'Amri the Tovar Gzizi D'Bardo, that he broke clumps of barda, we can say is ice, at Venochas Vitoval, and he descended into this and immersed himself for purification purposes for Tevila, so that it could be a type of frozen pond, and he jumped into a water hole to immerse himself, or he used the melted ice in order to immerse himself. Whichever way you explain this, it certainly is an act of extreme physical strength and dedication to attaining purification. Iko di Amri, another explanation of the posik v'hu yorad v'hiko v'chulei, is the Tana Sifra de Beirav v'yoyma de Sisva. He learned the Medrash on Sefer Vayikra, known as Toras Kehanim, which is considered a very difficult study, and he did this on a very cold day. The indication in this pasuk to Toras Kehanim, according to Tosfos, is learned from the word Ho'ari. Ho'ari is a lion, which is a very strong and challenging creature, we'll say. So too, the study that he pursued was of that nature. The Gemara continues, "Vameisemenim yoidemu." Well, this really is the main point of bringing this whole pasuk in. This point of Gemara, Reb Chiyo's response to Reb Yonasan, "Elu rishoyim shebachayim kruyim mesim." The word mesim here, that don't know anything, is not a reference to the dead. The dead, according to Reb Chiyo, do know what's going on. The mesim here are actually living people that are wicked. Their wicked, their choice to pursue a life of wickedness makes them such that they don't know what's going on. They make themselves that they don't know what's going on, like Rashi pointed out earlier. Shneamar, where do we see an indication that the wicked, even though they're alive, are called dead? They're already dead while they're still alive. Well, you have here two approaches. One is Ve'ata Cholol Rosha Nasi Yisrael. Here's a reference to Tzidkio, who in this context was referred to as wicked, though he was still alive. The word he was referred to as wicked, but Cholol means a dead, a corpse. So he was referred to by the term Cholol while he was still alive. Liboy Seimo, another approach, Mehocha, from the following we see that a Rosha, when he is still alive, is called dead. The Pasuk says, in the context of court executions, defendant is found guilty by the testimony of two or three witnesses that testify against him, and in their testimony there is an indication that they had warned the offender not to commit the offense, and he did so anyway. The pasuk says, "Al pishnaim edim o yishloisha edim yumas hames." Upon the testimony of two or three, it says the dead shall be executed. Yumas hames, kill the dead. Well, chayhu, you don't kill the dead. The dead is already dead. You kill someone who's alive. Ela hames meikara. Rather, the understanding is that since he is a wicked individual, he's really considered dead while he was still alive. And that's what we're trying to show, that rishoyim bechayim nikroim mesim. Bnei Rabbi Chiya nofuk l'kuraisa. Up till now we're discussing Rabbi Chiya. Now we turn to Bnei Rabbi Chiya, the children of Rabbi Chiya. Nofik lekaraisa means they went out. Rashi says lehisaseg ba'avodas achuzasim, to engage in working their fields, their achuzasim, their holdings, their fields. So they went out to care, to tend to their property. Iker lehu tamudayo, they forgot their Torah learning. Havakomitsari ladkure, and they were straining themselves to recall ladkure. The word ladkure is an Aramaic word, the root of which dalet chofresh is like zayin chofresh in Hebrew, lizkor, to remember something. So they were straining themselves, they were at pains to remember their Torah learning. Amalei chad lechavre. So we're dealing with brothers, the two sons of Reb Chiya. Their names were actually Yehuda and Chizkia. So one said to the other, Yoda afun b'hai tzara, do you think that father knows about our trouble? Amalei idach mino yoda, how could he know? The idach, the other brother, said, how could he know? V'hoksiv yich bedu bona v'lo yeda. The pasuk indicates that the deceased don't know. The pasuk literally says that the sons honor their father, who's dead, and he doesn't know. So he wants, and we've dashed underlined v'lo yeda, because that's the main point in this discussion, where the other brother says, father doesn't know our trouble. Amalei idach v'lo yoda, and he says back in wonderment, what, he doesn't know? V'hoksiv. We started a marking here of triangles, and on the side of the Gemara, under our Mivne heading, we've indicated that these triangles are nisyonis lochiach da mesim yoidim mashikur ben achayim, that the dead are aware of what's happening to the living. So, the pasuk says, V'hoksiv, ach besor olav yichav, v'nafshalov te'evol. V'yomer Rabbi Yitzchok, kashirima lemeis kemach b'fsar hachai. The pasuk indicates the pain that the dead feel as they are decomposing. As Rabbi Yitzchok says, rima, decomposition to the dead, is like the feeling of needles inserted into living flesh. It's a very painful experience, so that the dead are quite aware of what's going on. We should point out parenthetically that people might look at this and say it's clearly figurative, because we don't all of our indications and monitoring systems show that the dead have no pain response. One should not totally dispel the possibility that that is an error, because maybe one day some technology will be developed to indicate that the dead really do experience pain. And up till now, it is true that our current technology doesn't reveal such a thing, but leave open in one's mind the possibility of some future technological revelation indicating otherwise. Of course, as things are, we as human beings can't come to operative conclusions other than that which we see. We have the concept of Ein L'dayan Elo Ma She'enov Ro'os. But on the other hand, one should be open-minded, and just like many things that 200 years ago would have been said to be impossible because the necessary technological devices had not yet been invented, to suggest that there are voices floating through the air would have resulted in someone being charged with sorcery in New England in the 17th century. But with the advent or invention of devices like the radio and other forms of telecommunications, we discovered that voices are in fact traveling through the air. So that's just we'll call it an editorial comment by the way. And the ramifications are, our intention really is to motivate a person to consider the issue of death in a more serious form, and if this makes it any more sobering, then so be it, that the dead, while decomposing, feel extreme pain. That being the case, we continue in the Gemara. So we have these two sons of Rabbi Chiya arguing with one another. So the one who says that the dead are not aware of what's happening amongst the living, Amri, he says, as far as the pasuk you just quoted, Bitzara didhu yadi, Bitzara dachrina lo yadi, regarding the pain, their own personal pain, they are aware, but the pain of others, that they are not aware. Rashi says on the third line from the top, Tsar dihu tsar gufam mamash kigon akitsa tsarima, the stinging of the worms of the decomposition, that they are aware of. The Gemara goes on with again a question, velo. And as we said, these triangles indicate attempts to show that the dead are aware. The Tanya, we have a Tanaic source. This Tanaic source is rather long, you can see by the length of the framed section. And it describes an incident where a pious individual had a confrontation with his spouse, and that motivated him to go to a cemetery, to leave his house, go to a cemetery, and he then heard spirits communicating with one another. And the story you'll find is repeated on a couple occasions inside this Tanaic source. So the first part of the source will be important to get down the reading, the translation, and the second part is essentially a repeat of it. Now, I noticed in the Meforshim that the reference to the chassid, this pious individual going and actually sleeping in a cemetery, might very well be something that took place in a dream. But that aside, we're going to go through the source, taking it on a literal level, or a literal translation, but realizing that there are other approaches. So again, our goal is to demonstrate that the dead are aware of what is going taking place amongst the living. after this long source, you can see we've squiggled underlined the expression Almo Yadi. And the purpose of squiggling this is just to emphasize what our main point is after being engaged in such a long story. So we're going to see from here that they are aware, and the Gemara will offer a response to that. You'll notice afterwards some more triangles. This discussion continues. So in the meantime, the Gemara asks, "Velo, is it so that they don't know?" The Ha Tanya, we have a source, Ma'ase B'Chosid Echad, an incident involving a pious individual, Shenosan Dinu Loni Be'erev Rosh Hashanah. It's pointed out, by the way, that when you see the expression Ma'ase B'Chosid Echad, it's a reference to possibly Rabbi Yehuda Ben Bava, or I believe Rabbi Yehuda Ben Bava, but very great Tanaic figures. One of them is referred to here by this expression. He had given a dinar, a coin, to a poor man on Erev Rosh Hashanah, Bishnei Batsoros, during years of famine. That means when there was great poverty. So this man had very little of his own money, money that would be used to fund his own family needs. He took that money and gave it to an outsider, to an impoverished person on Erev Rosh Hashanah, Bishnei Batsoros. Bishnei means the years of Batsoros, a famine. Vehiknitaso Ishto, and his wife was enraged, and one could say, and rightfully so, but she was enraged because he took the limited funds that he had and gave it to a poor man. So she was upset. He then went and slept outside his house. He went to a cemetery to sleep. And he heard two ruchos, two spirits, speaking with one another, conversing with one another. Omro chada l'chaverta, one said to her friend, we're talking about two female spirits. Chaverti, bo'i v'noshut bo'olam, my friend, come and let's fly together in the world. V'nishma mechor apagod, and hearken unto what is being said behind the pargod. So reference to a division on the other side of which is the inner sanctum. We're talking about something very spiritual over here. They want to hear what secrets are being revealed from the inner sanctum. And what do they want to hear? Ma puronus bolam, what type of punishment is going to be meted out onto the world? Amra lo chaverta, so the other one responded, Eini yichola, I can't join you in your flight. She'ani kvura b'machzelos shokonim, I'm buried in a reed mat. In other words, I'm buried in a type of coffin which doesn't allow for proper decomposition, and hence the separation of the ruach. There are different levels, different spiritual entities that are associated with a human being. There's, of course, the guf, which is the physical body. There is the neshama, which is the sometimes translated as the soul, which is a very holy entity. And there is the ruach, which the Marsha describes as an element that joins the spirit, the neshama, with the guf. Now, these are topics that yours truly is certainly not conversant in, but I am reporting what the Marsha says. And hence the ruach is that entity that can be sometimes present where the body is buried, and it also travels from that point to where the neshama is, to the loftier levels. However, this particular girl is buried in a material that doesn't allow for the release of her ruach, and hence she says, I can't go with you. Elo l'chi'at, you go, u'ma she'at shamas imri li, and report back to me what you hear. Holchehi v'shota, so the singular spirit went and flew, v'bo, the omro lo chaverto, and she came back, and then the one that remained behind said to the one that flew, chaverti, ma shamit me'achore hapagud, what did you hear from the other side of the divider? Omro lo shamati, I heard, she calls a rebu fiyo rishoyna, borad malke oisoi, that anyone who plants during the first rainfall, his crop will be ruined by hail. Borot malke oisoi. Holachu, so this chassid who heard that understood not to hasten in the planting, rather let the first rainfall go by and only later plant. Vezora bervia shnia. He then planted after the second rainfall. And what was the result? Shokolo lum kulo loka, the rest of the world's crop was ruined. Shelo lo loka, but his was not affected. Lashono ha'acheres, next year, holach v'lon b'vesak v'ros. V'shama oisun shtei rucha shemisapra zu. And so the same thing happens, and the next few lines you'll see are quite repetitive. Omro chad l'chaverta, one said to the other, boi v'noshu ba'olam, v'nishma l'chura pagud ma' puran's ba'ol l'olam. Let's go together and hear what punishment is going to befall the world. Omro lo chaverti. So the one who, other one says, lo kach amarti loch, didn't I already tell you, ein yichol l'shani kubur b'machzel shekonim, I'm buried in a machzel shekonim, I can't go with you, alul chi'at, umash she'at shemaz, boi v'imri li, and that which you hear, you'll tell me. Holcha v'shatu bo, v'yomro lo chaverta, chaverti, ma shamis me'achor ha'pargoid. So the one that remained behind said, once again, what did you hear on the other side of the pargoid? Omro lo, so the traveler said, shamati shekol azura b'rviya shnia. Shidofon malke oisoi. Anyone who tarries, who waits in his planting, who to plant after the second reveal, the second rainfall. So shidofon, the type of crop ruination will affect him. Holach v'zar v'yorishana. So the chassid who heard this went and rushed in his planting to plant during the first rainfall. Shel kolol and kulo nishdaf, v'shelol lo nishdaf. Everyone else's plants went bad through shidafon, and his were not affected. Omro lo ishto, the wife of the chassid turned to her husband, having noticed this phenomenon of his being amongst the few who had success when the majority of the world lost out on two occasions. Mitneima eshtaked. Why is it that eshtaked last year? Shel kolol and kulo loka. Loka through the loka is afflicted by the hail. V'shelcha lo loka, and your crops were not. V'achshav, and now this year shelchol olam kulo nishdaf. V'shelcha lo nishdaf, everyone else's crop was ruined through shidafon, and you were spared. Soch lo kol advar malolu. So he revealed to her. He spoke to her, told her all of the things that happened. Amru. Now the moderator says here, and it was said, Lo hoyu yomim mu'atim ad shenoflu ketota bein ishtoi shel oisa chosid bein imo shel oisa riva. A ketota, a confrontation, a fight took place, an argument took place between the wife of the chosid and the mother of that girl who was improperly buried. Omra la, so in arguing and fighting with one another, so oftentimes insults are cast one upon the other. So here, the wife of the chassid, she insulted the mother of the girl buried in the machzelos. So she said, "L'chi ve'erech biteich shikvur b'machzel shekonim." Go and I'll show you how your daughter is buried in this reed mat. Lashono Acheres, this is now the third year of involving the chosid in his desire to know what's going to happen. So it says the next year, Holach v'lon b'vesak v'oros, v'shama ois and shtei rush v'sabra zuim zu, Omra la, so one said to the other, chaverti boi v'noshet bo'olam, v'nishma mechor ha'pagud, ma'pun ez bo'li olam. Let's go here, what's going to happen? Omra la, so the one who was in the machzela shokonim said, chaverti, Hanicheni, leave me be. Devorim shebeini levenoch, that which transpired between the two of us, our conversation, kvar nishmu bein achayim, the living have become aware. Almo yadi. So you see from this that this girl who was in the machzel shekanim was aware of what was taking place amongst the living. Rashi, on the upper half of the page, there's a star in the Rashi, Amo Yadi, Devorim Huamurim Bein Achayim. They are aware of that which transpires amongst the living. And if we were to tie this back to the beginning of this particular story, so that the sons of Reb Chiya, one was saying to the other, father knows he certainly does know of our pain, of having forgotten our learning. So the Gemara rejects this and says, "Dilmo inish achrina shochiv v'ozil v'omar lu." It could be that it's not so that the dead are directly aware of what is taking place amongst the living, but rather someone died and informed them of what had taken place. But direct contact between those who are dead and those who are alive, that does not necessarily exist. Toshma. So we try again an attempt, as we indicated, an attempt to show that the dead are aware of what's taking place amongst the living. The Ze'iri have a mafkid zuzi gabi ushpezichte. Ze'iri, a great rabbinic figure, had entrusted his money, his cash, by his innkeeper. In other words, when Ze'iri was traveling or when he was not home, so he stayed in an inn, and the money was entrusted to the innkeeper ad osi v'ozil lebei rav, until he went and came back from the yeshiva. Shriva, the innkeeper, died. Also basra l'chotzer mavis, so he pursued her to the graveyard. Omar lo zuzi hecha, so he turned to the deceased and said, "Where did you put my money?" Omra le, so she told him, "Zil shaklinu mitusi sinura didosha beduch polon." She tells him a couple of things. One is, well, go take your money from under the tsinura didosha, the door hinge, in Duchplon, in such and such a place. So she directed him where his money could be found. The Emo lo le'imo, and she, this is the deceased woman, says, go tell her, he's third person, but referring to herself, go tell mother, tishdar tishader li masukoi v'guvsoi dekuchla, I want mother to send my brush, my hairbrush, and my applicator. A kuchla is a substance that's applied to one's eyes. So in some Gemaras, it seems to be something of a medicinal nature. It seems here to be something of a cosmetic nature. So she says, send my cosmetic applicator, Bahadi planisa de asi lemocher, together with so and so who's going to die and come to me tomorrow. We're, as we said earlier, offering literal explanations for the Gemara, literal translations, realizing that there's very likely much more than meets the eye. But for our purposes, we dash on a planisa de asi lemocher. What do we see? Alma yadi. She is aware of what is happening amongst the living. In other words, Rashi points out, Al Mayadi Ma Shoisin, what's happening amongst the living. She Yada Zu Shizu Gosesis in Utiyomus Lomus. She knew that when she says, give my hairbrush and applicator to so and so who's going to be here tomorrow, is coming tomorrow, she sees that we're talking about the dead, sees that this woman is in the throes of death. She's a Goises. So there is awareness. The Gemara rejects this and says, Duma is the name of an angel who's in charge of spirits, and it could be Duma kodim umachris lehu, that this spirit or this angel called Duma, Rashi says, that Duma is a malach shu memuna al hamesim. Rashi continues and says, "Kodim u'machriz lehu." He announced to the dead, "Achshav yovel ploni," that so and so is going to be coming. Avol shar divrei achayim einam yodim, but other matters concerning the living, they, the dead, are not aware of. It's only because this angel announced the arrival, the imminent arrival of so and so, that we can say she was aware of her coming. The Gemara continues, Toshma, again a triangle, and here we've used a long marking on the side. We're calling this a question. In other words, it's a question, a challenge to the opinion that says that they don't know. Toshma, the Avua de Shmuel, Havako Mafkidi Gabe Zuzi Diasmi. Avua de Shmuel is an outstanding Amoraic personality He is referred to as the father of Shmuel. We'll see later in the Gemara that his name, in fact, what his name was Abba. So Avu de Shmuel was a very trustworthy person, and people used to entrust the money of orphans to him. Kinoch nafshe lo have Shmuel gabe. When Avu de Shmuel died, his son Shmuel was not in his presence. So he the son doesn't know where the money is, and as far as the public is concerned, you have Yisomim who need their funds, and they're nowhere to be had. So Havakukoru Le Baruch Zuzi Diasmi, they referred to Shmuel as the son who consumes the money of the orphans. In other words, people were casting aspersions and defamations in the direction of Shmuel, that he used up their money, which of course was a lie. Alzal Abasre Luchotzimovis, so Shmuel pursued his father to the graveyard. In other words, he went to the graveyard, Omar Lehu, Bo'ino Abba, and Shmuel had a vision of the dead that had left in his, it appeared to Shmuel that the dead had left their graves, and he says to them, I want Abba, I want father. Omru Le, so they said, Abba Tuvo Ikoch, there are a lot of Abbas over here. Omar Lehu, Bo'ino Abba Bar Abba. So he then specifies that he wants a person known as Abba Bar Abba. Initially, Shmuel says, I want Abba. Abba, as we said before, has a double meaning. I want my father, but it also, that was his name. So when they heard, I want Abba, they understood they want someone with the name Abba. So they said, there are a lot of people with that name over here. So then Shmuel specified more and says, I want someone whose name is Abba Bar Abba. Omrule Abba Bar Abba Nami Tuva Iko Hoch. There are a lot of people that are named that way, Abba, son of Abba. Omar Lehu Boino Abba Bar Abba Avu de Shmuel Hecha. Now he focused it very, very clearly to one person. I want Abba Bar Abba, who's the father of Shmuel. Omru Le, so they told him that Solig Mesifta Rikia, he is not to be had because he has risen, he has gone up to the heavenly yeshiva. Adahochi Chazio Lelevi Diyosef Avro. In the meantime, Shmuel perceived Levi as sitting outside, namely outside the Mesifta Rikia. He was not allowed into the heavenly yeshiva. Omar Le Amai Asus Avroi. My time alo Salkis. So Shmuel, who is living, says to Levi, who is perceived as sitting outside the heavenly yeshiva, why didn't you go in? Omar Le, the Amri Li, so Levi says, because they told me from the heavenly yeshiva, call ki hanoch shani de lo slikis le mesivta de Rabbi office, vach lishte le daite lo mailinon loch le mesivta de Rikia. Kol ki hanoch shani means measure for measure, namely in all those years that you did not go, that was Levi, when he was alive, he did not participate in the public lectures of Rebbe Office. Rebbe Office was an outstanding, was a Golul Hador, and he had a yeshiva and had public lectures, and Levi, the Gemara in Ksubas says, without getting into detail, Levi did not participate in those lectures. And that made Rebbe Offis feel bad. Achlishte l'daite, literally weakened his spirit. But it means it was a type of insult to Rebbe Offis that Levi didn't listen to his lectures. Well, that comes with a price. So that all the years that you didn't go to Rebbe Office's lectures, you shall remain outside the Mesifta de Rikia. Adahoch v'hochi, also Avu. In the meantime, his father, Shmuel's father, Avu de Shmuel, came. Chazida v'kobochi v'ochich. Shmuel saw that his father was, on the one hand, laughing. Ochich is to laugh, an expression of joy. Or bochi is cry, v'ochich and laugh. Omar le, my time will call Bochis. Well, why are you crying? Omar le, de la argil causes. So his father says, because you're going to be coming here very quickly. In other words, your death is imminent. my time of achich, so why are you laughing? Answer, the chashivas v'hai almotuva, because in this world you are considered very important. Meaning this world, meaning the world to come, in the world of spirits, the world of after death, you are considered very important. Omar lei, I chashivna, if I am so important, if I have so much influence, so to speak, so na'ailua l'levi, I want Levi to be allowed into the Masifta Derekia. And it worked. Va'ailua l'levi, and they let him in. Amale, Shmuel asks, Zuzi Diasmehecha, he asks his father, where are the monies of the Yisoimim? Amale, Zil Shaklinu Ba'amsu Derechaya. Go take them from the Rechaya is a grindstone. Amsu Derechaya is like the foundation or the support of a grindstone. And he, Avodah Shmuel says that there's money to be found over there, under the grindstone, just to make things simpler for us. There is money found over there, and there is the upper layer and the lowermost layer belong to us. The middle layer of money belongs to the Yisoimim. Eloi v'tatoi didon. Eloi is the upper layer, and tatoi, the bottommost layer, is ours. Umitzoi, the middle, is the Asmi. Amar lei, mai taimo avdes achi. So Shmuel asks his father, why did you set things up just like that? Omar lei, so father answers, Iganu viganvi mignavu mididon. If bandits come, thieves come to take the money, they grab that which they have immediate reach to. That's the upper money. So they'll be stealing our money. In I achla ara, achla mididon, if the ground becomes such that things in contact with the ground get ruined. Sometimes there's excessive moisture that accumulates in the ground, so the lower level of money will be ours, and that will be ruined. Our money will be ruined. And with this setup, the money most secure is that belonging to the assignment. Well, what do we see from this whole story, Almo Diadi? Rashi says toward the end, Alma Yadi mi choshuv bein hachayim. You see, the dead are aware of who is considered important in amongst the living. The Gemara rejects this and says, Dilma shiny Shmuel. It could be that the case of Shmuel is different. Even the choshuv, since he is so important, kadmi umachrizi ponu mokom. There's a heavenly announcement before someone who is very important is about to die. Make room for so and so. So their awareness of Shmuel's significance isn't a reflection of a general cognizance on the part of the deceased of that which transpires amongst the living, but rather something specific to a man of great stature. At this point in the Gemara, then, as far as the attempted proofs to show that the dead are aware of that which happens with the living, we've sort of rejected them. However, interestingly, we had on Omid Aleph, we had Reb Yonason. The most recent section of Gemara, we had been dealing with the children of Reb Chiya and their discussion back and forth. However, at this point, the Gemara reflects back to Reb Yonason. We have a little star to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, and you can align this with a parallel star that you'll find back on Omid Aleph, where we saw Reb Chiya and Reb Yonason. And it's pointed out here that Reb Yonason, who took the opinion that the dead are not aware, he assumes the other side. The Af Reb Yonason Hodarbe, he changed his position. The Omar of Yishmuel Barachmeni Omar Reb Yonason, Minayin Lemesim Shemesabrim Zeimzeh, from where do we know that the dead converse with one another? Shenemar Vayoymer Hashem Elov. In the context of Moshe Rabbeinu's passing, Kodesh Baruch Hu says to him, "Zois haaretz asher nishbati l'Avrom nisuch l'yankev leimor." My leimor. What is the purpose of the word leimor in this particular pasuk that featured this is the land of Israel that I swore to give to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. What is Lemor telling us? Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, Lech Emor Lohem. You go and tell them, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Shvua Shemishbati Lohem, Kvar Kiyamtia LeVenechem. The oath that I, the Almighty, had taken to you, the forefathers, I have fulfilled in their children. Continuing at the top of Yud Tes Omen Aleph, E Salka Daitoch De Lo Yadi, if you were to assume the position that they don't know what's going on other than their own physical decomposition pain, Ki Omar Luhu Mayhave, when Moshe Rabbeinu would inform them of the Kodesh Baruch Hu's fulfillment of his promise to the descendants who are living, Mayhave, of what significance would that be? So if you say that the dead are aware of what's happening amongst the living, so the information that Moshe Rabbeinu would communicate to them would be of value. Elomai diadi. So you want to say that they are aware of what's happening amongst the living? Loma le lemei malu. So of what point, what's the value of Moshe Rabbeinu informing them? They know. So the Gemara answers, it's true, they do know. And the value of Moshe Rabbeinu telling them is lachzuki le'tivusa le'moshe, that they should feel a sense of obligation or a sense of beholding to Moshe for conveying the information, even though they would have known it on their own. This concludes today's Gemara section. For those who are interested, there follows a shiur on today's Tosfos. We turn back to Daf Yud Ches Omen Aleph. You'll notice that the Tosfos that we turn to now is found on the lower part of the page. The upper part of the page was dedicated to a Tosfos that was learned as part of the Shiur on Daf Yud Zayin. The Tosfos here, V'Sefer Torah V'Zro V'Korei, is referring to the Gemara of those strolling through a cemetery, and one should not do so with a tefillin being adorned, nor with a Sefer Torah in his arms and being read from. Vu hadin, Tosfos says, the alpeh also likros. Even without a physical Sefer Torah present, it would be forbidden to speak orally words of Torah. After all, as we said before, the dead cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and you are doing it. That would be lo eg la rosh. The yirkav alehem. The Gemara had mentioned that a person should not place the bones or a sefer Torah underneath him and ride on them. Aval I mafshilon la'achorav al hachamor shapir domi. If one would take the bones and sling them behind him on the donkey, that would be okay. V'chein b'sefer Torah, and the same thing with a sefer Torah that were slung behind you on the back of the donkey, as long as you're not sitting on it. V'afilu im b'daitcha lesor sefer Torah, and even if you think that maybe it would not be appropriate for a sefer Torah, avol minavim uksuvim shapir domi. But with regard to the writings of the prophets and the other holy writings, that would certainly be okay. The star indicates an additional girsa on the outside part of the page. Umihu nira di'af b'sefer Torah shapir domi. Nevertheless, it seems that by a sefer Torah it would be okay. Midenokat b'sefa sefer Torah. From the fact that the sefa, when mentioned, it said, so that the source was focusing on a sefer Torah, not just Nevi'im and Ksuvim. The lo mistaber lomar mishum sharyusa dinochrim velistim. And it's not likely that the sefer Torah was introduced into this source only because of the permission to sit on it in the case of Gentiles and bandits, where you are fear struck and have to ride quickly away, and therefore it would be mutter to sit on it. The ha pshita to mutter. In the case where you're fear struck of some imminent danger, so then it's obvious that it would be allowed. The lama yeasur, why should it be forbidden? The Yod Behedi Omer B'Yerushalmi, and furthermore, the Yerushalmi says explicitly, Diskiyom Leos Sforim, O Shehoyu Bo Atzamo Shomeis, a diskyo, this leather receptacle full of Sforim, of holy books, holy scrolls, or it was containing bones of the dead. It says in the Yerushalmi explicitly that which we are claiming is the case, that you can sling it behind you and ride that way. Elo Asefa. This was after the Gemara, in looking at this source with the writer, wanted to know what is the closing expression. What is it going on? So we said it's going on the Seifa. Mishum listim mutur lirkov aleim. V'hu adin lachorov mutur. And the same applies to slinging it behind you, where the holy books, or the Sefer Torah, is on the back of the donkey behind you. Afilu beloy listim. And that heter is true even without the imminent danger. So that from the Tosfos, the idea of listim and nochrim has relevance with regard to allowing one to sit on these things. If it's though a situation of non-danger, so then we say that you could nevertheless still have it slung behind you on the back of the animal. And that's okay. That's not considered a sign of disrespect. The next Tosfos, Lemochor Boin Etzleinu V'Achshov Mechar Fenoisanu, we saw this in the case of Rabbi Chiyo and Rabbi Yonason, where Rabbi Chiyo instructed Rabbi Yonason to raise his tzitzis, put in his tzitzis, they shouldn't be exposed, because by walking through a cemetery in front of the dead with a with the performance of mitzvahs being demonstrated in front of them, that is an insult to them. The Gemara, V'tema. Tosfos raises a question. V'ha'am rinon b'perek hatcheles, ha'hi shaita, at the point of burial, v'adai rominon lei, we place tzitzis in the garments of the dead, in the shrouds of the dead. Pirush noisim tzitzis betali soisehen. We place tzitzis in the talis, the garment of the dead. Veleko mishum loyeg larosh, and there is no concern of belittling the dead. In other words, here we're putting tzitzis into someone who is not able to perform the mitzvah, and we nevertheless go ahead and do that. V'yesh lomar dehochi pirusho. And Tosfos offers an explanation of to resolve what is going on here in our Gemara, and with that which it says in Menachos, that they do put the tzitzis in the garments of the dead. Hocha de mevayshin oison b'masha chayim mitzuvin v'hamesim einon mitzuvim. The godol hamitzuva v'chule is means etc. Godol hamitzuva v'yosa mimishenu mitzuva v'yosa. The problem in our Gemara is that you have living people parading by the dead while performing their mitzvahs. And the sense of embarrassment is based on the idea that greater is the one who is commanded to do a mitzvah than one who performs or fulfills mitzvahs even though one is not commanded. In other words, the obligated one is considered on a higher level than the voluntary one. So it's obvious to us that the dead are not commanded to fulfill mitzvahs. Even though you may say that there is some type of mitzvah fulfillment in having the garments of the dead with tzitzis, nevertheless, they are not fulfilling mitzvahs. They're not obligated. So that the living, and in this case Rabbi Yonason parading by with his tzitzis, is in fact a belittling of the dead, where he is showing here, I am greater than you. I am someone who is obligated, and you're not. V'koshe nevertheless, there's a difficulty, me'ahi de'hatcheles, from that which it says in Perek Hatcheles of Menachos, Hainu deramu chutin lemesim, where the Gemara mentions that they placed chutin, or strings, at tzitzis, into the garments of the dead. The achshav, nowadays, our practice, onu mesalken osam. How is it that we have a practice that's at odds with that which is featured in the Gemara? After all, the Gemara is, in effect, on a general level, the final word in halacha, in practice, so that when it comes time, or when it comes to situations that we have a practice that's at odds with that which appears in the Gemara, that requires explanation. Omer Rabbeinu Tam. So Rabbeinu Tam explains, Dafko heim shehoyu regilim kulam b'chayim luboish talis v'dalit kanthis. In the time of the Gemara, it was very regular, customary, to wear garments that were actually four-cornered garments. V'luboish tzitzis. As a result of that, the Torah expectation of tzitzis fulfillment is in a four-cornered garment. Their standard clothing, as opposed to what is in practice today, where people don't generally have four-cornered garments, there is a practice of buying a special four-cornered garment to have tzitzis placed in it, but in general, the type of clothing in the time of the Gemara were different than the type of clothing nowadays. As far as when we say nowadays, we're bearing in mind we're learning Tosfos, which was a Rishon who is dated 800-900 years ago, so that the Gemara time garments were four cornered. Our today garments, Tosfos says, are not four cornered garments. V'gam l'chol ha'oiskim bohem yesh lem tzitzis. And all those that were dealing with the dead had tzitzis in their clothing. And it would be embarrassing to the deceased for everyone around them wearing tzitzis, and they, the deceased, not having tzitzis. And therefore, it was felt in the time of the Gemara to place tzitzis into the garments of the dead to make them like the rest of them, so that and thereby avoiding this problem of loyeg l'rosh. Or because of the drasha from the pasuk where it says ledoroisam, and that's darshened ledor tam, the complete generation, that everyone should have tzitzis. Aval onu shigam bechayenu ein min hagenu lubois tomit tzitzis. But us, says Tosfos, that even when we are alive, it is not our minig to have lubois tomit tzitzis. To wear tzitzis at all times, and that's a function of their not having four cornered garments, and therefore there is no tzitzis obligation. Ihave ramina lehu, if we would place garments into tzitzis into the garments of the dead, have kemoi loyeg l'rosh, we like an act of belittling. It would be making the dead look different from the living, and that's considered loyeg l'rosh. You might say, well, what about the dead that happened to have worn four-cornered garments while they were alive? So let's put into those deceased tzitzis in Cain. So he answers, yeah, loyeg l'rosh l'achirim. Once again, any emboldenment or exaggeration whereby you are heightening a distinction between peoples, that too would be a form of loeg l'rosh, that okay, these people, and in this case they're now deceased, wore tzitzis, what the others did not, the other deceased people did not, so that again would be a problem. V'yodim Rabbeinu Tam Shishoma me'anshe lusir, the name of a place. Rabbi Tam says he heard from the people of Lusir, ha de mesirim hatzitzis, the reason that tzitzis are removed, the reason that we remove tzitzis from the garments of the dead, mishum de tzitzis oilu minyan taryag, the numerical value of tzitzis comes out to 613 im shmoyne chutim v'chamisha ksharim. In other words, if you take the basic word tzitzis, you have Sadi Yud is 100, and again Sadi Yud is another 100, that's 200, and the Tuf is 400 in numerical value. That's 600, plus the fact that there are 8 strings that come out of a hole in any given corner. 8 strings, and there are 5 knots. So 8 and 5 is 13, for a total of 613. The im loivesh tzitzis, if the dead were to have tzitzis in their garments, nira ki'ilu ki'en kolotero merci kishikro. It would be a type of demonstration or a sign that here is a person that observed all of the Torah, 613 mitzvahs, and that's not accurate. It would appear to be a lie. So that's what Rabbeinu Tam heard from the Anshei Lusir as a reason for removing the tzitzis of the dead. V'zeh lo nihira, that Rabbeinu Tam, or the Tosfos, says that does not appear to be a sound reason for justifying the removal of tzitzis. Degam chayim ato loma loivshin. What about people alive today? Why should they ever wear tzitzis? Halo lo kimu kol haTorah kula. No one ever observed all of the Torah. Umiyu yesh lomar deonu soimchen al maseches smoches shetsiva abashol levonav hatilu tcheles me apilioni. We, in our practice of removing tzitzis, rely on that which you find in Maseches Smoches. In other words, we're soimech on Maseches Smoches as opposed to the Gemara in Chulin. In Maseches Smoches, which is a collection of Tanaic sources, Smoches is a euphemism. It really, Smoches meaning festivities or happiness, it's a euphemism for a Masechta that deals with laws of mourning and related topics. So there in Maseches Smoches, Abba Shaul is featured as telling his sons, remove the tchelis from this particular garment, from his garment of the dead. The Afapi Shagmora Cholekolov, even though our Gemara, meaning the Shas in Perek HaTchelis, is at odds with that source, this is a very, very interesting point that has some extensive ramifications. There are cases that, in contrast or in distinction to that which we said earlier, that the Gemara is the last word, so to speak, in Halacha. Last word in relative, of course, to the fact that Shulchan Aruch is our final decisor of Halacha Lamaisa, but Halacha has to have its roots in the Gemara. And even though our Gemara is the basis of all Halacha, there are occasions that we will opt to observe that which is found in the Sfarim HaChitzonim, specifically these sources of works that are not part of the Shas itself, like Maseches Smoches, and there are other collections that you will find in a under the heading of Masechtas Ketanis in many complete Shas editions. They're called, in this case, the Sfarim HaChitzonim. This is also an interesting expression because you find the term Sfarim HaChitzonim referring to things that are literally external works, but here it's external in the context of the Shas. Kamo, and Tosfos now gives an example of something that's very common, whose practice is based on something we find in Maseches Sofrim, which is another one of these types of works like Maseches Smoches, which features a practice counter to that which is found in our Talmud. And here is that example. Kamo me chazon Yeshaya kipsikta, the fact that we read as a haftorah on the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av, we read Chazon, when it's known as Shabbos Pashas Chazon, from the beginning of Sefer Yeshaya, like is featured in the work known as the Psikta, again another work outside the Talmud. Ukamo Vayechal, Sheyesh Bagemora, Vayechal is the Parsha that we read from on a public fast day, on a Tainit Sibur. Whereas the Gemara says, Shiyesh ba Gemara b'tainis in Maseches Megillah, says Koren Brochus uklolus. We read from another section of the Torah, Brochus and Klolus, Maseches Sofrim, Meforish Vayichal, and there in Maseches Sofrim, which is another one of these examples of the Sforim HaChitzonim, we read Vayichal, and that's the practice that we in fact observe. So that the though the mitzvah of though the issue of tzitzis and the in the garments of the dead, the Gemara Menachos says put the tzitzis in, we go like that which is found in Maseches Smochos, remove the tzitzis. For it's vahoy rogil shelo lahasir min hakonof el lekoshem ulahadkom besoich hakonof. The Ritzvah, which is one of the Balei Tosfos, had a practice when it came to the garments of the dead, not to actually remove them, but rather to tie them up and to fold them into the corner, lafuke nafshe miplukta, to extricate himself from a controversy, from this controversy. Imheim chayovim b'tzitzis, if they are obligated in tzitzis, yeshlem tzitzis, then, well, they haven't, he didn't remove them. V'imlav, if they're not obligated, hare heim mechusim, so they're covered up, so thereby certainly avoiding the lo'eg l'rosh problem. In other words, if they're not obligated, then and we would be we would be putting them in, we would be wearing them in their vicinity. So nevertheless, since it's covered up, so it wouldn't appear to be a bizoyon. Or very simply, the fact that it's covered up, so it's as if they're not bound in it. So you don't have the problem that we mentioned earlier. Shnei Ariyomo of the next Tosfos. This was a quote from the Pasuk V'neo Ben Yoyoda at the last line of the Gemara. And we pointed out that this was a reference to Binyoyo Ben Yoyoda being of unparalleled significance in Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. The Pasuk is Al Shem David Ushlomo Shebonu Esabayis Ubo Meirus Hamo Aviyah. The word Ariel is a reference to the Beis Hamikdash, and Moav is in honor of David and Shlomo, whose roots, whose great great grandmother was David's great grandmother and Shlomo's great great grandmother Rus, who came from Moav. David and Shlomo being the builders of the Beis Hamikdash. We continue now to Amud Beis, Tosfos Ben Ish Chai. So the Gemara asked, Otu Kule Alma, is everyone the son of dead people? Bisforim Meduyokim Ksiv Chai, in texts that are very carefully recorded, it says Chai, V'karinon Chayil. And when you read the Pasuk, according to the tradition that dictates how things are read, you would read Ben Ish Chayil Umin Haksiv Dayek Hochi Shelo Ksiv Chayil Elochai. And the point that arouses the Gemara to its conclusion that the word Chai means is of significance, it's coming to tell us the Chiddush that Tzadikim even B'min Hassosim or Krum Chayim is from the fact that the Pasuk is read differently from the way it's written. So the fact that it's written in a way other than the way we read it, as we said, we read it Chayil, and it's written in a different way, that is what arouses the drusha to point out that Chai has this significant, this other significance of referring to the righteous, even after they're dead, they're called living. Sifra Debei Rav, again a description of Binyo Ben Yoda, who studied Sifra Debei Rav on a cold winter day. How do you see from the Pasuk that this is known as a difficult, challenging work? So Tosfos says, Me ho ari dorish, shu chomur shebesvarim. From the word ari, ari is a lion. Lion is a ferocious, a tough challenge, if you will. Certainly if one were to have a confrontation with a lion, he realizes he's up against something very difficult. So too the Sefer Toras Kohanim, the Medrash on Sefer Vayikra, is portrayed in the same light. Besoch Habor, the Pasuk had said that V'hu Yorad V'hikwas Ari, and we explained that he, Binyan Ben Yoda, went and learned Sefer Teras Kohanim. Besoch Habor, Tosfos says, Shehu Sefer Vayikra Be'emtza Hasfar. Besoch means in the midst of, and we're taking it to mean in the middle of the five books of Moses. The Chamisha Chumshei Torah, Sefer Vayikra is the third in the middle. Hence, this posik is revolving around the Sifra, the Torah's Kehanim on Sefer Vayikra. Almo Yadi. This is coming off of the story involving Avuah de Shmuel and Shmuel, where the father of Shmuel said that he would explain to his son the reason he's crying is because the la'agil ko'osis, you are coming very quickly. Midika'omar la'agil ko'osis, from the fact that he said you are going to be coming here quickly, shows that the dead are aware of what's happening with the living. And the Tosis points out, v'lo motzi lishnuye kedili'el, you cannot explain here as was done earlier in the Gemara with the sending of the comb and the applicator with the friend of the girl that was already dead. There the Gemara said, well, you can't prove anything from there because maybe Duma informed them. Here you can't say that. The idea of Duma announcing someone coming, that's only if it's something that's very immediate. But in the case of Shmuel, it wasn't something that was so immediate. It will happen soon, but not as immediate as the case before. And that's why Rashi himself was very meduyuk when we pointed out that in the case of the girl with this applicator story, the woman that was going to come to bring it was a goyse. She was in the throes of death. Here, Shmuel was alive. He wasn't in the throes of death. Therefore, it wasn't so immediate. His arrival wouldn't be so immediate. And something like that, even Duma himself would not have known. So that's why the Gemara felt comfortable that we can prove from here that the dead, in the case of Avuah de Shmuel, was aware of what was happening with Shmuel. But in fact, the Gemara rejected this as an example to be learned from because of the significance of Shmuel, and that maybe there was an announcement ahead of time. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.